Hey everybody, thanks a lot for joining us on Code Chat today. My name is Jeremy Foster. You can find me online at Code Foster, codefoster.com that is, and on Twitter at Code Foster. And there's a hash sign for Code Chat, hash Code Chat, so you can use that for conversations about Code Chat. You can use that to discuss past episodes or suggest future episodes, discuss the content of Code Chat. And one thing I just wanted to make note of, Code Chat, we're coders and we're talking to coders, that's you, and we're talking about code. Now sometimes we actually get the opportunity to get into the nitty-gritty and show code on the screen and really get into the APIs and the geeky part of it. Other times we talk at a little bit higher level about anything that you as coders will find interesting. So that's kind of the whole philosophy behind the content on Code Chat. Anyway, if you have any feedback on the content, please do feel free to use that Twitter hash sign and or get a hold of me any other way that you want. Now today I'm joined by my friend Knox. How are you doing today, Knox?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you doing, Jeremy?
Awesome, I'm doing good. Knox used to work with me at Microsoft, and now tell us about what you're doing.
So in the past few months I've been indie game developer.
Indie game developer. Yeah. Yep. That's a good title to have.
I think so, yeah. A lot of people had the same title right now, I think, yeah.
So when you're just talking at a bar with somebody and they say, what do you do for a living? Indie game developer?
Yep.
Drop that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Let me step back. I've been working with Microsoft for a long time.
Okay.
And I think right now is the kind of, you know, gold rush era for game development.
Yeah,
right?
gold rush. Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of people get into, you know, game development right now. So, and then, you know, the reason I start, you know, like interested in coding back 20 years ago, probably like just want to make my own game.
Yeah.
Right. So I haven't had that chance until 3-4 years ago. So now I'm like, okay, I need to try to do something with it, with my dream. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now today.
So what do you think about the entry point for being an indie game developer? Like, we've got a lot of developers in the audience and of various skill levels. There are some people that are just trying to break in, other people that have a lot of coding experience, but a lot of people that are really tempted with the idea of becoming an indie game developer. What does that on-ramp look like? Can kind of anybody do it, or do you need a unique skill set? Do you really need a lot of coding experience? What do you need?
Well, I think right now, as you can see, there's a lot of game that, you know, very popular, that if you know how to code and you have some good idea, and you could do it in a week or two, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And a month, you know, without like with super low budget, right?
Okay.
And especially when Unity came out and give, you know, a free license to indie developer.
Yeah.
And everybody could pick it up and learn something from their tutorial and, you know, just wing it. And, you know, before you know it, you get your own game.
Yeah.
And with, you know, some more like user testing, you could have a big hit, you know.
Yeah.
Flappy Bird is very easy to make.
Yeah.
You know, but the idea and I think the will to go ahead and do
you
it.
You need the will, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
You need a lot of drive and motivation?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had experience with developers that have just kind of dived into the Unity pool and said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go forward with it. And over the course of a year, I've watched them become very proficient at Unity.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as you know, when you're using a tool like Unity, you can be pretty productive, right?
Yep. Yeah, so I, you know, when Windows Phone first started, like on 2010, right, we are one of the few developers who would like jump onto the platform and try to write games. And back then, it's still a little bit difficult to actually make games, right?
Yeah.
Using XNA or SQLite.
Yeah.
And most of our game on Windows Phone store right now actually still use SQLite or XNA. But, you know, we've been trying to port that over to Unity, and some game take only a week to do it, you know, and then, you know, it's very easy. And we also start writing some new games, and some game take a month, you know, that pretty much, well, granted that our game is like small scale, not big scale, like AAA title, but it's still, you know, like fun to play, we get a lot of download and things like that.
Yeah.
And very, you know, the more you're doing that, you gain more experience. and you keep improving your quality of product, and you know, you talk to a lot of people, you learn something from a lot of indie developer, and then you grow, you know, as part of the process.
Yeah.
And Unity or coding skill that you learn is transferable. You know, you could use the same skill to do application development, even using Unity now,
okay.
Right?
So yeah.
It's fun to do game development, but you can, well, you won't limit yourself at the game development.
Okay.
That's what I've seen myself doing now. It's like, okay, I've been UI developer for 15 years, and right now I'm doing game, but if I wanted to app development, I could apply.
You could jump right back into
exactly.
that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So.
Okay, so you mentioned Unity, so it sounds like you're using Unity. Tell us just kind of broadly what technologies you're comfortable with and you see good power in. What technologies do you tend to choose for the games that you're making or for the apps that you make?
Yeah, so right in the past we've been using like SilverLight for Windows Phone, mm-hmm. and because that, you know, part of my job when I work at Microsoft, we're doing a lot of front end using SilverLight, C#,
mm-hmm.
WPF, those kind of thing. So when the last job that I have at Microsoft, I have a chance to play around with Unity,
mm-hmm.
and it's very easy to pick up because they support C#, and you know, it's a very easy language to write and to maintain, you know,
yeah.
And so we use that, and we also, you know, some of our game actually have service that running to, you know, save game data, or we have turn-based game system that use C# and running on Windows Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to say is like, you know, we stick with what we know best for
mm-hmm.
now, because we're a small team,
yeah.
and C# is the language of choice right now,
yeah.
and it's very easy. And if, you know, when you need some help from friend, most of our friend know
yeah.
the same thing.
Right.
So yeah, so I think going what we are comfortable with is good, but at some point you will have to still, right, you know, try to do something that out of your comfort zone,
yeah.
right? And then we do like JavaScript, we do, CSS, we do web programming sometime.
Yeah.
It depends on what you want to get done, what works best.
It's kind of neat when those two worlds join, like when
exactly.
you have your C# application, mm-hmm. but you're needing for some reason to embed a web view and again, jump into the JavaScript and even it's kind of the interop sometimes where your C# needs to talk to your JavaScript and back and forth.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, C++, you know.
Yeah.
When you want to go to that, you know, low level.
Yeah.
Then
right.
You can do everything you want.
I'm thinking about the pervasity of C# as a language these days. I mean, probably most people are familiar with Xamarin really embracing C# and saying we want this everywhere. And I have a couple of other examples. So the software that I use to edit CodeChat is by Sony. It's called Vegas. And Sony Vegas allows me to write C# scripts for my timeline, for my editing. And so, for instance, whenever I need to do something standard across the whole timeline, like go grab all the events on the timeline and shorten them by 2 seconds or something, I can write a C# script to do that. I have some other software that I like to use called CorelDRAW. And in CorelDRAW, there's actually a plugin for Visual Studio. I can write plugins for CorelDRAW in Visual Studio using C#.
Cool.
So it's like all these other,
yeah.
you know, these other companies, these other major software packages are going, yeah, C# is a great language, let's do it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, have you been to the latest Unite?
Unite, no, I didn't go to Unite.
So they announced that there is So basically, IL to CPP, I think, yeah, that's the term. So basically, they compiled your C# into C++.
Oh yeah, right, right. What's it called again?
IL to CPP.
IL to CPP.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that like everybody, you know, very excited about that because now you can actually have like highly performant game, but you write C#.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's really awesome.
It's amazing.
So it sounds like a pretty cool technology snack. Now, stack. Now we talked about the code that you guys write, but what about the graphics? Where do you get your graphics, or do you make your own? Do you have somebody on your team that does it?
Yeah, most of the game that we have on the store right now, I did my own artwork.
Really?
Well, most of them, and then either I, you know, try to, you know, buy something
uh-huh.
out of the website and change it to what I wanted.
Okay.
Some of them we actually enlist help from friends,
okay.
like, who are UX designer, UI designer.
Yeah.
Then you know, like bring them in, helping us with something that you know out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And yeah, so pretty much it's very low cost production.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised, you know, once you get into this kind of business, and you will find help and information from other people who are doing the same thing, and you will learn how to, you know, get your resources and artwork and sounds, things like that.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, you may not find exactly what you wanted, mm-hmm. but it's good enough to get your game, you know, up and running, and then when you in the next version, you could keep improving it.
Yeah.
Improving it.
Graphics are one of those things that you can kind of just always replace it with a better version.
Exactly.
And just keep it going. Have you used the Unity Asset Store?
A lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I have bought probably 100-something asset in the past 6 months. I mean, mainly it's just to learn the technology, learn how people do the things. Some assets is very, very good.
Yeah.
And it's so inexpensive.
Yeah.
Like you could buy some starter kit for $50 and you learn maybe, you know, a lot about how they, you know, make something looks pretty.
Yeah.
Or a lot of things that you could be doing yourself, but those people do it way faster. I mean, like, I'm talking about performance, right?
Yeah.
The game runs smoother. So
yeah.
Now you could learn from those things.
Right.
Right. And in some of the game, we bought some starter kit, and then we put more feature uh-huh. onto the game, different artwork. And for example, the game that I just released like a few months ago called Nox Room, we took the starter kit, and which is already good, and then we add level editor feature into the game.
Okay.
And then on top of that, we actually allow user to save the level and put it up on the cloud backed by Windows Azure,
mm-hmm.
right? And then another user come in, can browse it,
wow.
download it, and like it, or, you know, and save it, and they can, you know, do a lot of stuff. So all of this, you know, the cost of, you know, development, I think we took a little bit over a month to do the whole thing.
Wow.
But without the starter kit.
That sounds really fast.
Yeah, without the starter kit, it could take me maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's real hard to know where to start and how to do the, you know, physics, you know, engine stuff, or how to, you know, like get some simple GUI going.
Yeah.
But starter kit is a good starting point. And there's so many different kind of game starter kit on the asset store.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, you know, I mean, if you are a developer, coder, you go in there, it's like you are in the candy store.
Yeah.
You guys light up and you're like, oh, I want to buy this and that and everything. So I ended up bought a lot of them.
I did a gaming jumpstart on Microsoft Virtual Academy, and one of my co-presenters, Adam Tulliper, was talking about Unity, and he went to the store and he mm-hmm. downloaded a pack of dinosaurs. And I forgot how much they cost. They were something like $30
yeah,
or something.
I think so.
And I imagined if a person was going to go not only model and paint and but also animate multiple dinosaurs in this pack, how little would you have to pay yourself on as an hourly wage to make that fit in $30?
Yeah,
for, you know,
yeah.
just a little simple.
I remember when I first working on one game, which is had a bird, which is our hero. It took me a day to, you know, just jump into a Photoshop
right.
and draw the thing,
yeah.
right? And it's like, it could take, you know, a full-time designer
sure.
to do it in an hour.
Yeah.
So, and luckily, a lot of those, like, designers start, like, you know, like, selling their asset on the asset store,
yep.
and it's very easy to get your game going.
Yeah, yeah, then you're taking that effort, you know, the effort that the designer is putting into it, and it's
yep.
being used for multiple things. And like you said, with most of these graphics formats, it's not just a bitmap where you can't modify it too much. Oftentimes it's a model where you can manipulate it, you know, add another arm or whatever you
yeah.
need. Or it's a vector image where you're able to mm-hmm. recolor it and, you know, animate it yourself, whatever
yep.
you need.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Okay, so let's talk about your actual games. What games do you guys have out there right now?
Oh, we have a lot of game on Windows Phone.
Okay.
And I think we have ported a few of them to Windows Store.
Okay.
And and lately we've been adding a new game which has more feature, mm-hmm. bigger production, because
okay.
we learned a lot from the past. And it's getting a little bit longer time to finish each app. We have, so on Windows Phone Store, we have, I think, 18 titles right
18,
now.
18, wow, that's a lot.
No, I'm sorry, 14.
14, yeah. That's still a lot.
yeah, so yeah, it's, I mean, we slowly working on those since Windows Phone started.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we have our first game called Spell It,
okay.
Which is a word game similar to Words With Friends.
Okay.
So back then, because our friend, group of friends loved playing Words With Friends, and then Windows Phone come out, and we're like, you
it
know.
It doesn't exist on this one.
Exactly, yeah. Let's try to do it. And okay. That when we learned how to use Azure.
Okay.
And then Azure back then is very, you know, there's a lot of kind of work around that you need to do to get things going, but it's now it's like 100 times easier to do thing on Azure right now.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I mean, the way we're looking at our at the whole thing back then was just to learn technology, to learn this new platform, learn about Azure, learn about that thing, and all at the same time having fun doing it.
Yeah.
So you know, like one thing led to another, we end up with 14 titles. some games were easy to do, like I said, you know, it take a couple of weeks to do, and some games take longer, like a month or two. Yeah, we have Spell It, we have Tap the Birds, simple you know, bird tapping game where you kill bluebirds, which is bad birds. So,
but they're bad birds.
Yeah,
so
you don't want to touch a red bird. We have red birds, right? So it's just, you know, like a whack-a-mole thing, one finger game, tap. But you could, like, you know, collect golden eggs and trade it for better guns.
Do you know what age it appeals to?
I would say a lot of feedback that we got from the store is like, my kid loves it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the thing is, it had gun in the game, and like, okay. So, but it's like cute cartoon-looking gun, right?
Yeah.
You know, nothing special, you know, like, yeah, just tap, and it gets faster and faster. And a lot of grown up play the game, and they like it too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you know a lot of people like us so busy with work, and we have a few minutes here and there, and sometimes get like you know so much frustrating with work, something like that.
You sometimes just want to shoot birds.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's, this had a lot of download actually.
Yeah.
So granted that we don't make a lot of money from the game.
Yeah.
But the number of download is very very surprising.
Good.
And
so get your name out there and.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is like you know you could continue improving it because you have users who like the game and now, go back to what we want to do now is like to improve this game, make it look better, getting more feature and try to, you know, get it a little bit more.
It's popular. Probably important to try to at least consider who it is that you're going to be appealing to.
Exactly.
And like you said, you're going to be appealing to, you know, guys that are busy with work and stuff and they just want to play a simple game for 2 minutes on the bus. But then also just last night, my son was playing Whack-A-Mole in real life. And he's 2.5, and so I think he would enjoy that too.
Yeah,
you know, even at 2.5. So that's a pretty broad net you're throwing there.
Yep. So and I was sort of surprised that I actually had like real, you know, sound effect of gun. Like shot.
Yeah.
Bullet firing.
Yeah.
So and it's probably you know maybe
borderline for kids.
Yeah. But the artworks look cute. Like,
yeah.
Just for kids, not so serious.
Yeah.
Right. So no bird killing in the process.
Did you put a disclaimer in there?
No, I should. So and that and back to Asset Store. Like we found some really great you know trees.
Okay.
You know, and then a lot of you know particle that we think would be good to put it in. So and then we decided to actually spend a couple week, you know, get from the cartoon looking game into something a little bit more serious but still nice, like looks like appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not cost us a lot to actually do it, both you know time and money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know from the previous you know version that you see it now, you got a new one.
Okay.
That looks a lot prettier.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah,
so the same bird, we don't change the bird. The birds still look the same, right?
Okay.
So but the trees and everything, you got, you know, the graphic is so smooth. And this is done in Unity.
Okay.
So basically we ported XNA game to Unity.
Interesting.
In a week with new artwork and everything. So and that's what we're trying to do now, where we looking back at our games and try to improve it.
Mm-hmm.
So some game may not have a lot of download, but we still we like, okay, now that we learn a lot, we like to bring the quality of the product up a little bit for us and for the platform too. So right. That's one of the game, and we have like Noxus Room, which I mentioned before, a physics puzzle game where this is like inspired by Rube Goldberg, where you try to, you know, set up your room with some object and drive something to somewhere,
okay,
finish a goal. Each river have different goal.
Yeah.
So and then we have like kind of virtual pet, and card game, and battleship kind of game with our own rules and spin on it.
Uh-huh.
We have blackjack, which, you know, another card game where it's most of our card game is very basic. We don't have any power ups or nothing. We thought that some player who love the game wants to just play the game like a real rule. So we have bingo, which for the long time has been a popular bingo game on Windows Phone,
mm-hmm,
because it's like nothing. It's like, you know, you play bingo with the same rule, no power up, no coin to collect. Well, you collect coin when you play every day.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no like instant bingo, no treasure chest.
Nothing fancy, just
exactly
the basic rules.
Yeah. And then people like it. We got like 13,000 reviews or something.
Oh,
like
wonderful.
4.5 star. But now it's like there's a new other bingo coming out with, you know, like fancy stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a group of people who like that kind of, you know, like a format where you have a lot of power-ups, you have a lot of coins to collect, things like that.
Yeah,
and
right.
Very popular.
Yeah.
So there's a group of users who play those games. And there's also still a group of like users who actually love the classic game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what we learned in the past few months is that, you know, you there's a gap, you know, that's for the app. That you can still make an app very simple.
Yeah.
Because bingo game, it took us 3 or 4 weeks to finish it back then.
Yeah.
And you still get a lot of user every day. Because, you know, there's still user who wants that, right? We can try to write very, you know, like crazy, you know, games that has a lot of feature, have everything put into the game. Or you could write some game that's so simple, which still have a lot of users. It's depend on which way you want to do, and you know, this trade-off is there, right? You know, this thing costs more, like need more resources and time.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, you know, get it done. You acquire some user. You keep adding feature, and before you know it, you still retain those users for a long time. And some game we have user from day one, like Spell It. They keep playing, and a lot of those users have been really nice to us, because sometimes we made some update and then we mm-hmm. screw something up.
Yeah.
And they still keep telling us, hey, you break something, fix it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
After we fix it, they still, you know, stay with us and, you know, keep playing the game. So, yeah, so.
Which is the preferred interaction? I mean, like right now it's common to just go, oh, this is terrible, one star, you know, and
this game sucks.
Yeah. But if a user can come back and say, hey, this is broken, I'd really love it if it would be fixed, and if you can fix it, that's just and that's just the perfect
sometimes
scenario.
Even just like some simple response to those nice users that hey, thanks for your, you know, telling me this, and then we'll fix it.
Yeah.
So
Let me ask you a question about internationalization or localization. So these days we're putting our games in the store that's available to the whole world,
mm-hmm.
and the language where we speak and the country that we live in is not our entire marketplace. Do you have to put a lot of consideration into your games to make them available to the whole world?
I've been thinking about it because one of my background was localization.
Okay.
You know, first job at Microsoft, we did localize something, and we value localization, translation a lot. But there's a small difference between apps and games, right?
That's
so
what I'm thinking.
App, you know, sometimes because application is so complex, and sometimes
there's a lot of language on the screen.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. A lot of, you know, words, something like that, and you know, localization helps a lot, you know, to bring user who not comfortable with English to be able to use the app, you know, comfortably and, you know, the right way, right? And then for games, a lot of new, you know, generation can play mm-hmm. game even reading anything on the screen, right? So
do you ever think about that? Like, instead of putting a word on the screen, do you use a symbol so that it's international by default?
Yeah, we you know, icons and things like that, right? So so some icon is good. It's like very standard. It's very easy to understand, like the play icon or pause and things like that. We have that a lot to just help us to not putting words in case we want to localize our game. So to answer your question, none of our game is localized right now.
Okay.
Right. So but we've seen a lot of user from some game that actually download our game in Brazil, Argentina, and you know South Africa country. And even though our UI is still English, but you know a lot of people understand English and not so many things to read anyway. So, but when the game gets bigger and when you have to put something to explain user how to play the game, then you localization will help in this case. I think, besides from translation, we actually thinking about how to tailor our game to fit a local, you know, player in different country. For example, we could have or create trivia game that instead of some baseball related information here, which is popular here, right?
So talk about cricket.
Exactly, cricket, or you know, like a Bollywood star or story. In Thai, it could be in Thailand. I'm from Thailand.
Okay.
So it could be some other local, you know, politic thing, or something fun, like, you know, extra celebrity, you know, something like
that.
I've
even heard of the localization of simple things like images on the screen. I noticed in, it's called Tap the Birds?
Yeah.
Tap a Bird? What's your
Oh, my game?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tap the Birds.
Tap the Birds.
Yep.
In Tap the Birds, you've got a tree in the background, and there might be certain trees that grow in certain parts of the world that would make it, it would make an app feel more like home if, you know, if you have somebody in Africa playing this. And you have a baobab tree, or I don't know how to say that, you know, but a different kind of tree that they actually might make it feel more like home.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah, something like that is very easy to do, right? You know, it's just different artwork.
And yeah, a lot of times you put cityscapes in the background or iconic buildings, and if you're playing it in Europe and you're seeing American buildings, it might not feel as at home as if you are seeing iconic.
Or even better, you could have, like, you know, use the GPS and the same
and
game,
you
go to a different country, and now the tree changed, right?
So I think that nowadays, if you just put a little bit of thought into your game up front, you can really get some differentiating features, you know, as opposed to just going with what's standard or what's known or what people are used to, and then just landing in the store as just another whatever kind of game.
Yeah.
If you have just something a little bit different, I think that can really go a long way.
Yeah, and you know, you could pick up any game that people, you know, playing and add something, you know, better on top of, you know, innovate on the same game. Not copy, but, you know, you're improving it.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way.
Yeah, you know what they say, there are really no original ideas. You know, we're always innovating based on influences that we have.
Especially when you play the game that you love and you keep asking for for feature, and they're like, okay, it's never...
Or you ask yourself, why is it that I love this game? Like, one of the games I love, I loved Wordament. I don't play it as often anymore because the Wordament team created Snap Attack. It's the Wordament version 2. And now I love that one. And I play it a lot, and I'll actually sit down and I'll play multiple sessions in a row. And I've had to ask myself, what is it that I love? What is it that makes me start a new game? What is it that makes me say, yeah, let me try that again, you know? Because if I can capture what they did right, that makes me want to play that game again, and then I can build that into another game that maybe has nothing in common with Snap Attack other than that it's addictive like Snap Attack, then I can, you know, I can work towards
success. You're totally right. I think the multiplayer part of the game addictive, right? And especially when it's live, when you play with people around the world, right? So you like to be in the top 10, top 10% or you know, top 1% of the whole leaderboard.
Yeah.
I think that very addictive, attractive. So a lot of people try to do the same format, which some of the games, you know, like become popular too, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good.
Well, that's fun. I mean, I really appreciate having a chat with you because being an indie game developer and knowing my audience and that there are a lot of people out there that are interested in doing just that, it's really helpful just to throw a few questions at you and hear your take on them, how you're overcoming the obstacles and how you're moving forward as an indie game developer. So that's really helpful.
Yeah. All right, thanks. Yeah.
Now, is there anything else that you want to add? I know you wanted to, you were going to mention something about.
Oh, yeah. You know, when we talk about game, you also, one thing that I've been noticing, you know, I'm actually doing this full time and I went to see a lot of indie developer out mm-hmm. there. And there's a lot of, you know, program that that we are fortunate enough to be part of.
Uh-huh.
Like one of the game that we about to finish and released on Windows Phone and actually got small funded by the program called App Campus.
App Campus.
Yeah.
Cool.
So and this is like the program that you know run by Aalto University in Finland.
Okay.
And with it's joint funded with Microsoft and Nokia.
Okay.
Right. And you know it's amazing program. Right. So we actually work on a big game called Skate Quest.
Okay.
And it will be out soon. And this is the you know, similar physics puzzle game where you, you know, you try to guide this skateboarder around the obstacle, screen.
Okay.
And, you know, put something to help him move from one place to grab the flag at the end.
Okay.
And it's very, you know, like, I hope it will be something that people like to play
because yeah.
we haven't seen any game like this. So the thing is, like, the program allow us to, you know, to take initial funding to, you know, like spend on resources that we wanted. And then, you know, once we're done with this, we, you know, they will help us, like coaching us with, you know, marketing and things like that. It's not just really the money, it's everything, like
yeah.
marketing and how can we take this thing, you know, up to the next level,
yeah.
which is very nice. And most people don't know about this program.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, and this is very great. And hopefully, well, from this, what we learned from this program, we actually apply to every game that we have, you know, bringing the quality up and something like very simple, like, you know, like how to create a nice and attractive icon
uh-huh.
on your screen,
mm-hmm.
something simple like that.
And how important that is.
Exactly, that's very important. Yeah, and aside from that, well, you know, I think what I like to leave here is that, you know, like there's a lot of, you know, the same kind of, you know, developer out there, like
yeah.
indie developer who mm-hmm. Who know something that you don't.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth like, you know, like go and meet people.
Yeah.
And share what you learn.
Yeah.
And share your something that you're struggling with.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised that a lot of people really, you know, nice and they're helping me a lot. And
yeah.
then something like this that I like to share with other people, like, hey, this is a best kept secret ever. Most people are like, you know, you could go do like a Kickstarter and things like that to
yeah.
raise your fund. But mm-hmm. something like this is also another channel that you know, you could try and see if you have the good game idea or application idea, then people want to help you, right?
Yeah.
And that's why most of our game, we kind of stick with Windows and Windows Phone platform, because some of these programs that run by Microsoft is very, very, very good.
Yeah.
We haven't seen anything like this in, you know, on other platform. And yeah, we're happy.
Well, I'll put a link on the screen yep. to App Campus so people can go get more information about that. Real quick, should every developer be interested in that? Should they go research that and figure out if that'll work
oh, yeah.
for an app that they're working on?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you have an idea, you're working on some project, or if you have existing app that actually, you know, available on other platform, you could still, you know, like approach them and, you know, apply for their, to get into that program.
Awesome.
And, you know, I think even go to the website, looking at what they have in terms of like what kind of quality that of the game or application that they're looking for. And then there is information that actually will help you immediately on how to improve your apps
yeah.
or your idea,
yeah.
take it to a next level, and even before you submit your idea,
yeah.
you go through that and you learn a lot, and like,
yeah.
there's a lot of video and a blog about it, and
yeah,
yeah that's what I've been doing, you know, in the past few months, where go to this, you know, a kind of program, and you know, App Campus or Develop, that's another program too,
yeah.
like, where you can, you know, finish some challenge, collect experience points and trade.
That's
for
fun. Develop's really cool.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It just makes you want to do the next thing to get some more points.
Yeah. And yeah. every month there will be a challenge. And then you finish it, that means you finish your app.
Yeah.
That you know already did, right? And then you get the points. And the nice thing about that, those points can help you promote your app.
Yeah, totally.
Like yeah, it's like spell it. We use it. That point so many times to actually get it like spotlight
uh-huh.
a feature because
uh-huh.
it's part of the program.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's maybe some restriction on where your app will show up, thing like
yeah.
that. But still, it's good that you did something. You know, you finish your app and you get some point, and then you could, you know, and it's nothing to lose.
So besides just getting free phones, you get all kinds of
exactly.
other cool stuff.
Yeah, so, well, the Pi can be used for, you know, gift card.
Yeah.
Get free
yeah.
money.
Well, tell you what, we should wrap up, but I really appreciate you coming and having a chat with me. For the benefit of the developers in the crowd that are thinking about being an indie game developer, I think that's really helpful, so thank you.
Right. Yeah, thanks. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and thanks everybody for joining us on Code Chat. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Cool. Some good games.